Our Old Testament lesson today is from Jeremiah 1, verses 4 to 10. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Oh, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and pull down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon the meditations of my mouth and of our hearts. Be with us in this time and place, we pray. Amen. In 2002, a teenager named William Kakwamba of Wimbi, Malawi, Africa, was suffering during a drought and famine. His family members were each eating one scoop of sima per day shared out of a small pot, and day after day he watched his friends and relatives grow weaker, and many died of hunger and disease. He was not able to go past eighth grade because his family could not afford the school fees. So William spent his time farming, but also taking apart radios, playing with batteries, and studying books on science and technology, learning all he could about electricity. And one day, he read about the power of windmills. That was a turning point. This determined teenager, using scrap metal, tractor parts, and a bicycle, made a windmill that brought electricity to his family compound. It powered a water pump to irrigate the farm, helping them battle the drought and famine. He then built a solar-powered water pump to supply drinking water to his entire village. William went on to pursue his education in Johannesburg and eventually Dartmouth in the United States. He founded the Moving Windmills Project in 2008, which supports rural economic development in Malawi. Its motto is African Solutions to African Problems. William not only changed lives around him, he inspired the entire world with his determination and creativity. His story is told in the wonderful book, The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind, and it is now also a heartwarming Netflix movie. I have Malawian friends, and I've worked to raise money for clean water there, so reading his story is like cheering for a good friend. These are the stories that movies are made of, ordinary people doing extraordinary things, people who are called to make a difference in the world. The prophet Jeremiah was like William. He was called by God to be a prophet during a difficult time in the history of God's people as they were torn from their homeland and exiled to Babylon. And at first, he thought he couldn't do it. He didn't think he had the skills. He said, "Oh no, I'm too young." And all of the excuses, they're so familiar in the Bible. Remember Moses? He was a murderer who ran away from Egypt, and he had a huge stuttering problem. When God called him to lead the people out of Egypt, he said, "Who, me? No way. I can't." Even William had his doubts about understanding electricity, especially when his father couldn't send him to school anymore. But what if God always works in these crazy ways? Like when we have doubts about our calling, isn't that when God's power really shines through our lives? We definitely see that in the Bible. When we feel ill-equipped for our calling, that's when we have to rely upon the power of God in us. It's really not about us. It's about Jesus in us. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, God says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." I wonder, what does that mean to you? Do you believe that God can do things through you beyond what you think possible? Because here's the truth. God does not call people who are already equipped. God equips the people who are called. Here's a great quote I read in Christian Century by Craig Kinnear. "God rarely calls us to do what we can do on our own. We do not need a call for that. God calls us to what is impossible on our own, so we learn to depend on him." Have you ever felt like what God is asking you to do is impossible? I can think of different times in my life that I have, like 2021, when I was called here. That's the thing. God uses ordinary people like us to do God's work in the world, even when, especially when we have our doubts, when we say, I'm too old, too young, too shy, too busy. That's exactly when God steps in and starts moving in our lives. So does this mean we're all called like Jeremiah, that we should identify with him or Moses or Isaiah or Elijah or William from Malawi? Not many of us are appointed prophets or called to free a people or even bring water to our city. So how does this story relate to us? Where are we in the story? Well, what if we are right in the middle of it? Because God knows us too, from before we are even born. Ever read Psalm 139? Try looking that up today. It reminds us that none of us is an accident. We each have purpose, and God knows that before we're born. And remember Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 12? That as members of the body of Christ, we each have a part to play in that body. We are each an eye or an ear, or a hand or a foot. What are you? What are you at FPC Mattawan? Now that Jesus is resurrected, we're called to be his body on earth, to be Jesus Christ to others. St. Teresa of Avila said it so well. Christ has no body now on earth but yours, no hands and feet but yours. Yours are the eyes, the ears, the mouth of God. Do you ever think about that? That you are Jesus to other people in this world. Now that's wild, wild and crazy, isn't it? But it's really not about us. It's about Christ in us. And it doesn't have to be a big grand call. Sometimes it's the small little things. But whether it's big or small, it can be really scary, right? I mean, if you put yourself out there, people can react to you in different ways. I believe that's why God said to Jeremiah, "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you," says the Lord. I mean, don't we all need to hear that? So where are you sent today? Is God asking you to do something new here or at work or in your neighborhood? Where is your sphere of influence? Who is watching you, looking up to you? Austrian psychiatrist and Holocaust survivor Viktor Frankl once said, "Everyone has a specific vocation or mission in life. Everyone must carry out a concrete assignment that demands fulfillment. Therein, he cannot be replaced nor his life repeated. Thus, everyone's task is unique." What if God's words to Jeremiah are words for us today? What if we too are called to do what God asks of us in our daily lives? What if God is saying to us, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. Do not be afraid, for I'm with you to deliver you." I wonder, have you ever felt a little nudge when God puts a person on your heart and you think, "Gosh, I've got to reach out to them. I need to pray for them." Have you ever been driving one way and God told you to turn around and go the other? Have you ever been shopping and God urged you to buy something for someone else? What if following God's call is sometimes just small and simple, but life-changing to other people? What if God wants to use us to answer someone else's prayers? I believe God does that all the time. In the book of Exodus, two midwives for Hebrew women, Shiprah and Puah, felt that God was calling them to go against the order of the Pharaoh, who decreed that every Hebrew baby boy be killed. And instead, they saved those children. Talk about life changing. What is God asking you today? Where is your influence? It's right where we live and work, where we shop and play, in our homes, our neighborhoods. Whose lives are you touching? Is it a spouse, extended family? Is it people at work, clients, friends, neighbors, a hairdresser, a barber, a postal carrier, teachers, your friends at church? In the classic film, It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey considers ending his life after falling upon hard times, and an angel named Clarence comes to help him reconsider by showing him just how much his life is intertwined with others. Strange, isn't it, George? Each man's life touches so many other lives. When he isn't around, he leaves an awful hole, doesn't he? I believe there are lives that only we can touch, you know? No matter who you are, there's no substitute for you. It's tempting for us to say to God, oh, someone else can do that. But that never flies with God. God says the same thing to us that God said to Jeremiah. I chose you. I called you. I appointed you, and I will help you. We are the people God wants to use. It doesn't matter our abilities or disabilities. Everyone touches lives, right? Some of the most humble and simple people are making the biggest difference in this world. Being called and used by God is really different than the way our world works. We say to kids, you can be anything you want to be. Just work hard and set your mind to it. But is that actually true? I mean, we can't really be anything we want to be, can we? I mean, I cannot be a concert pianist, a long-distance runner, or a basketball star, no matter how hard I try. I can set my mind to being an Olympic athlete, and it's never going to happen. Why? Because that's not my God-given skills or abilities. God didn't set me apart for that. But God does have a special job for me, just like God has for you. And my self-worth does not come from me successfully doing just what I set my mind to do. Yet that's what we tell people. It's not true. What's true is that we are children of God, and our real self-worth comes from being children of God. And as children of God, we each have a mission to be who God calls us to be, who God made us to be, which is great news, and it might even be a big relief. We cannot be anything we want to be, but we can be everything that God wants us to be. Reverend Rodney Buchanan reminds us that the world, it just works differently. The American culture places this extreme value on youth and beauty and athletic ability and intelligence, education, wealth, and fame. He says, what happens when you lose it? Where do you get your feelings of esteem and personal worth when everything on which you've based your value has vanished? Friends, the real view of ourselves should come from God's view of us. And here's what we know. God loves us. God has called us. God has set us apart for this time and for certain purposes. We are called to make a difference right where we are. There is no substitute for you. So what if we prayed this? God, give me the courage to be who I'm called to be. I believe that's what Paul means in Philippians 4:13 when he says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And in Philippians 1:6, when he says, I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. Friends, God calls us. If we have the eyes and ears to receive it, it's not about us. It's about Jesus at work in us. Later in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29:11, God says, For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. You know, in our Luke 13 reading today, Jesus healed a crippled woman who may have given up hope after being crippled for 18 years. But Jesus sees her and he calls her over in the synagogue on the Sabbath and says to her, Woman, you are set free from your ailment. When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. Sometimes our calling begins with being set free from whatever is holding us down or holding us back, from whatever destructive habits or beliefs we have. Sometimes we are our own worst enemies, and Jesus wants to free us from that so we can do what God calls us to do. Friends, hear the good news of our gospel today. You are custom made for your mission in this world. It doesn't matter who you are or where you've been. God has a calling on your life and plans for you. Wherever you are, God is with you. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. Jesus wants to work through you. May God give all of us the courage to believe and follow our call. And for that good news, all God's people say together, Amen.